on line one, just as we're about to do our first category here, one of the original FDH Lounge dignitaries. Prior to that, my partner on the FantasyDraftHelp.com Insider, and somebody that I go way back with here at the station, good friend of ours, Nate Noy, joining the proceedings here. Nate, good to have you on, my man. How you doing?
Doing great, Rick. I can't believe Dave would admit to being in any kind of NetCar affiliated event, but
I've actually seen a couple races in person.
Really?
Yes. And, sorry to tell you that, but it's true.
I have been. You ever go out to the? You know where it is cool to watch it. I even went to the old Cloverleaf a few times, but Lorain County Speedway also. You ever been out there?
No, I have not.
It's kind of fun out in good old Amherst, Ohio. Nate, it's good that we got you on, buddy. We were going to have to reach out to somebody in all likelihood here to be a tiebreaker for our first category here tonight in the Pantheon. Best sports coach or manager. As of now, it looks like we've got a tie. So what I'm going to do in all these categories, I'm going to start out with who got one vote apiece and then just kind of build up to how this shakes out in terms of who is in the lead. Going down our list here, individuals who received one vote for best sports coach or manager of all time. We have one vote for Mike Socia, one vote for Mike Tomlin, one vote for Tom Coughlin, one for Sam Ratigliano, one for Bill Belichick, one for Sparky Anderson, one for Chuck Daly, one for Billy Martin, one for John Gruden, one for Greg Popovich. And before we read off who's in the tie at the end, or when we get to the point of who's got the tie at the end, we'll get to who among the four of us here tonight voted for these ones individually. I'll get to that. Guys who got two votes apiece in the competition here, there were two votes for, as I'm looking at this here, Paul Brown. He got two votes in the competition. There were two votes for Tom Landry, and there were two votes for Vince Lombardi. And as I look at this here, all right, we have now four votes apiece for the two guys that are tied right now. Scotty Bowman and Phil Jackson are tied with four votes apiece. This is where I'm going to step in and reveal who I voted for. What's interesting, we have one Bowman vote, one Phil Jackson vote among us here, among the four of us. I voted for Scotty Bowman, and I just want to put this out there as my way of thinking. And again, I realize I could come across a little bit of a homer here. My favorite team, the Detroit Red Wings, he led the Wings to three cups in the late 90s, early aughts. But this was my criteria. I have two lists of names here. First list, Bear Bryant, Red Auerbach, Woody Hayes, John Wooden, Walt Alston. Those were Scotty Bowman's contemporaries when he came into coaching as a head coach for Montreal in the late 60s. My second list, Bill Belichick, Phil Jackson, Billy Donovan, Urban Meyer, Terry Francona. Those were his contemporaries when he left coaching at the beginning of this millennium. He bridged those eras. Joe Paterno, of course, was a constant in all of this. He was coaching with Paterno at the beginning and at the end.
Yes.
Here's another way of looking at it, too. Tommy Lasorda. We think of Tommy Lasorda, do we not, as somebody who managed for a long time but hasn't managed in a long time? Scotty Bowman started the better part of a decade before him and stayed on like 6 years after him. Now, again, Scotty Bowman had some time off in the 80s. He didn't coach a lot in the 80s. But to me, his time away from the game, that just makes it more remarkable. I don't think anybody has bridged eras with the success going from the dawn of the original six, or the coming out of the original six era, I should say, into squarely the modern game. So my vote was for Scotty Bowman. Dave, your vote in this was for Billy Martin, who was one of the prime figures on the scene when you and I were young.
Yeah, you know, looking back on it, he was he was successful with the Yankees a few times, more than once, and obviously not as successful in sometimes. But that was basically the opinion of George Steinbrenner. And when he went to the Athletics, he found success there. I think he only has one World Series title, though, doesn't he? Does he only have one or none?
He didn't. Yeah, 77, yes. 78 was Bob Lemon. They didn't win after
that. So just
that.
One.
Just one.
Yeah.
How about that? But he was there a lot. And yeah. he made, you know, think about the other teams in the 70s, too. Texas, Detroit. I mean, he could go in and make anybody respectable. Oakland in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just a side point, Paul Brown did have three.
Paul Brown had three.
He
okay.
did have three.
All right, yeah.
He
so
was on there three times.
Very, okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
he finished
yeah,
third.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. He's going to be in third.
Yeah.
A little hard to eyeball on some of these here. Thanks for catching that. Yeah, so
right.
Paul Brown was very close.
I would probably have to go with Phil Jackson just because of the fact that he won titles with two different teams.
Would that be your second place vote? As far as because if that's not your second place vote, then I think basically we default to Nate at some point here. And that's but I want to get Ryan's reasoning also on
yeah,
Phil
you
Jackson.
Mean who would I vote between Jackson and Bauman?
No, no. Who's your second place one overall? Because
oh, overall.
We'll give a second we'll all, the three of us will give a second place vote overall. And then if none of us
I'd probably have to go Paul Brown.
Okay, okay. Before we go on to get Nate's thoughts on this, Ryan, you cast one of the votes. You actually cast the final vote for Phil Jackson chronologically here, putting it in the tiebreaker here. So thoughts on Phil Jackson, and obviously the 10 rings had to be very uppermost in your mind.
Yeah, I went with him because, like Dave said, he won rings with two teams, the Bulls and the Lakers. Obviously, he had Jordan with the Bulls, but they didn't have really any other dominant superstars, so it showed his coaching there. And like you said, the Lakers, he won. So basically because of the rings and winning it with two teams, that's why I took Phil Jackson.
Okay. Nate, before we move on to the Jackson and Bowman issue here, you voted for Vince Lombardi. You were one of two votes for one of the guys who was on my list also here, too. Vince Lombardi could have been on my list of Scotty Bowman contemporaries at the beginning of his career. But that great era of authoritarian coaches, Bear Bryant, Woody Hayes, and you voted for Vince Lombardi.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I did, Rick. You and I talked about it a little bit off air. I mean, when you think of the standard for coaching and a guy that had complete control over the entire situation and actually was very successful with that, you know, it is Vince Lombardi. He does have a trophy named after him. You know, he is the standard. When I think of if I wanted to have a program and I could pick any coach from history to win, I think that guy would be the guy that, you know, would install the mindset that worked. Maybe it doesn't work in today's era, but it certainly worked in his era. And he was, you know, I like Tom Landry and some of the other NFL coaches. And obviously Brown did something over a duration that was on par with Lombardi, but he's the only coach in NFL history that even comes close. I mean, Don Shula coached for, what, 100 years to get all those wins? No offense to Shula, but he didn't do what Lombardi did in the period of time Lombardi did it. So.
Yeah, he did accomplish an awful lot in that era there. Couldn't translate it to Washington, but there's a lot of great coaches that didn't have a second act that was successful. And in fairness to him, he was cut down health-wise, too. We don't know what he could have accomplished had it gone into the 70s. It actually would have been very interesting to see Vince Lombardi, had his health survived, make it into, like, the mid-70s and have to deal more with, like, the modern player. That could have been interesting.
And he probably would have ended up with another team, mm-hmm. just based on the fact that, you know, maybe something would have gone wrong or injuries or just other teams being a little bit better than the Packers. And he probably would have ended up somewhere else, which would have been a good, interesting look at to see how he could have, if he could have won with another team.
Mm-hmm. That part of it would have been pretty interesting.
One interesting thing, Rick, this was any sport, any coach, right? I didn't hear any college coaches get a vote either. You know, no Dean Smiths, no Woody Hayes, who you mentioned as a contemporary. You know, no.
That's separate. Yeah, we're doing that next
year. None of those guys got even a vote.
No, well, the funny thing was, our good buddy Russ Cohen from Sportsology was going to vote for John Wooden, and I went back to him and said, yeah, pro. Okay, I said, we could count it. I said, you know, I don't really throw out votes, but, you know, if you want it to count for somebody, and good thing I did because he changed his vote to Scotty Bowman, so happy about that. At least
it was pro. Well, UCLA qualifies.
Yeah.
Well, Sender was getting a nice paycheck when he was there. Come on.
Yeah. UCLA's generally got a better salary cap situation than the Clippers, don't they?
Absolutely.
All right, well, I tell you what, I'm going to stall for time here. I'm just going to go around, and you guys, you know, let's make it second-place votes. You can't vote for who you voted for on your first-place ballot. Second-place votes, if there ends up being a winner on the ballots here, so be it. Otherwise, we'll just, Nate, you by virtue of having joined the party here, the third ballot will just be you as far as between Phil Jackson and Scotty Bowman. Dave, let's start with you. Who would be your second place vote? Well, I think mine over.
I'll go with Paul Brown.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Obviously, I don't break the tie.
All right. Paul Brown is the second place vote. And, okay, Ryan, who would be your second place vote if given a chance?
I don't know. I'd probably have to go with Paul Brown also.
Paul Brown, okay. And actually, by virtue of that, Paul Brown had three votes, you said, right?
Yes.
I guess, we're sort of making it up as we go along right here because we didn't have this situation come up last year. I think Paul Brown basically could win this thing unless... He could steal it on the second place votes here, unless there end up being any votes for Phil Jackson or Scotty Bowman. I don't think there's gonna be. I don't think that's gonna be the case because as I'm looking at it here, I'm inclined. As I look at it, I think I'm gonna give my second place one to Casey Stengel. When you look at the run that he had with the Yankees, and I'm nobody's Yankees fan, but I respect history and the run that he had. And for anybody that thinks that anybody could have gotten all that out of those players, look at what they did in the 60s without them. Still were successful in the front half of the decade, but didn't make nearly the noise without them there. I think the old professor got taken for granted by a lot of people. I'm going to go Casey Stengel. Nate, what's your vote here? It looks like Paul Brown is going to take it unless you have a vote for Scotty Bowman or Phil Jackson on the second ballot.
Well, here's the thing, Rick. You and I talked about Phil Jackson off air as well, and we both agreed that, you know, either one of us coaching those teams wouldn't have won 10 championships, but hell, we would have at least got one. So,
yeah.
I sit here and I think about, you know, why did I vote for Lombardi? And the closest thing to Lombardi is somebody that did Lombardi style for many, many more years and actually had, you know, was successful on every level. So this, you haven't had this happen before, Rick, but I'm going to vote for Paul Brown also, and I think he deserves to win over the other two guys. So,
well, he's going to, and for as much as, like I said at the outset, that it was going to be a zero-sum tiebreaker between these guys here, I'm sort of making an executive judgment on the fly, but I think we have to give it to Paul Brown just because he got the most combined votes between the first and the second round. So our first winner of the night is Paul Brown, our first inductee into the Pantheon for this year. Paul Brown stealing it here in the second round. So we raise the mighty Dundee to Paul Brown.
Is that the first, Crocodile Dundee? Or?
Yes, our first winner of the night here. I'm going to keep track also, too, on our spreadsheet. We've all got spreadsheets, those of us in studio here, for who voted for the most winners, at least on the first ballot here. So there are three people who voted for Paul Brown on the first ballot. As we go along here, I got a text from our good friend Raymond at the new sports blog, Googling Atlee Hammaker, who indicated that his second place vote would be John Wooden. So now we have a college coach represented in here, and one of our voters. And go check out that fine site, Googling Atlee Hammaker at blogspot.com. All right, so there is our first winner for tonight. Our second event. And we'll do two more of these before we take our first break here. Best sporting event. And this one was really kind of spread out all over the place here. We had one vote for each of the following. We had one for the Army-Navy football game, basically holding it up as a bastion of purity in sports here. And it's before I get any further into this, I see on line two, being joined by our senior editor, joining us from Colorado, our good buddy Jason Jones. Jason, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Hello?
Jason, you there, buddy?
Yep.
All right, hey, how you doing, man?
I'm trying to knock everything out so I can give you a steady amount of time tonight.
Okay. All right, well, Paul Brown was our first winner here. Thoughts on that?
It's no secret. I'm not a huge fan of deferring to the very, very old school.
Right.
I mean, the guy's an all-time great, so I guess I can't really be too upset. I was really hoping that the Pantheon board would have collectively gone for someone that was a little more creative.
Well, such was not the case, apparently. But Paul Brown got the second place ballot. I don't think you'd like my second place ballot much better. I went for Casey Stengel.
He's an old dude.
Yes.
He's old, but he's a character, though, so I like it.
Yep. That was a fun category. All of these ones I think are going to prove to be tonight. We had one vote for best sporting event, one vote for the Army-Navy football game. We had one, is it only one? No, that one had two votes. We had, let's see here, one vote. Our good buddy Mike Petak, soon to be rejoining Pro Wrestling Insider, voting for WrestleMania. I thought that was classic. One vote for one vote for WrestleMania, one vote just generically for football. I like that. One vote for Wimbledon, one vote for the Masters. So those are all the ones that got one vote. We got two votes apiece for a couple of these ones. One vote also for Stanley Cup Finals Game 7. That one was specifically singled out. So something that doesn't even come every year or every couple of years necessarily. I could have done without this year's Stanley Cup Finals Game 7, but that's just an aside.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's just a small aside there, people. All right, two votes for the Kentucky Derby, two votes for the World Cup, two votes for March Madness, and is that everybody? Yes, that's everybody that's got two votes. There were also... You know what? This was only two votes also. I guess these ones collectively, when you look at it here, all tied for second place. Two votes also for what I voted for, the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that leaves 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 votes for what is going to be our hands-down winner in this one here, the Super Bowl. We're not even going to a tiebreaker on this one, not even close on this one. As far as talking about our votes, I'll start off by saying again, I voted Stanley Cup playoffs. I just looked at it this way. If it's an X times Y equation, if you're looking at length of an event times greatness of an event, I don't think anything comes close. It's 2 months long. It's enthralling, especially as you build through it. But even the first round stuff can be. I mean, I know that, you know, Dallas and Edmonton had some great first-round series about a decade or so ago. You didn't even have to be a fan of either team to be on the edge of your seat watching some of those ones there. So just the whole excitement times length, that's what I went with. I said Stanley Cup playoffs. Dave, you ended up going with the winner.
And, you know, two things, or actually three things if you look at this event. One, it's a worldwide event. Even though it only takes place in America, it's watched worldwide. Number two, how many Stanley Cup final parties can you say are out there?
Mm-hmm.
How many Super Bowl parties are
right
out there? And number three is the history of the event. Now, granted, I am a big believer in, if you want a championship in the NFL, you want a championship in the NFL. So, for instance, just because the Browns haven't won a Super Bowl doesn't mean they never won a championship. They mm-hmm. did. They won several. Even in the old league they were in back in the 50s. Obviously, I agree. So I think the only other one that I would say is as close to that would be, you know, March Madness, because it's something that you have brackets for. I mean, how many brackets are filled out?
Well,
everyone's watching.
That's a great segue. We had a vote for March Madness from one of the five individuals who's on right now, our good buddy Nate Noy. Nate, you and your collegiate roommate Tim Faust, another FDH Lounge dignitary, were the two votes for March Madness. Talk about your way of thinking on that.
Yeah, I think the Super Bowl is more of a media event now. It's become more than a sporting event. I don't even know. I mean, it just it's diluted. It's diluted with Sting or whoever's going to sing at halftime and the commercials, and there's so many distractions. March Madness is still a pure sporting event. I mean, if you go to Vegas, and the second biggest day in Vegas is the first day of the NCAA tournament. Obviously, the Super Bowl is still going to trump that a little bit, but people get to miss work for March Madness. You have the selection show. You have all the build-up for the event. The whole basketball season is a build-up for this one event, for the selection show, just the build-up, the hype. And it's not really hype. It's there. It's real. And I just feel like in terms of a pure sporting event, just the sporting event itself, that March Madness does trump the Super Bowl, and that's what the one thing I look forward to more every year than anything else is March Madness.
Well, we have two guys left to talk about their ballots. Now, one of the things they taught me when I went to Segway school is if somebody's got a counterpoint, go right to that. So of the two guys yet to talk about this, I'm going to go to the guy that voted for the Super Bowl. Jason, give a counterpoint on that.
Well, it's interesting because although I'm very affectionate to Nathan's elitism, and I think he's got a great point with March Madness. For me, it's an editorial take on it, though, because for me, my editorial would be, as far as March Madness, I break it down into segments, and to me, I'm more interested in, you know, the first 2 days than I am the actual end result, although I've been quoted many times as saying that the March Madness is the greatest crowning of a champion that has ever been and probably ever will be. With that being said, and I take into account the media, the spectacle that is the Super Bowl, and I looked at it as if I could only go to one thing, let's say I've never been to a sporting event in my life, and I can only go to one, it would be the Super Bowl for all of the other things as well as the game. And it's a whole weekend thing, the parties, the... You know, if you go outside in the parking lots, there's all kinds of festivities going on. I just think that it would be the most impressive thing, not to mention you'd be live you'd be on location for the highest rated television program on the planet. So for me, it just came down to punch for your dollar, I guess.
Okay. Well, one of the ones that is not in the mix here as far as being a – well, then again, there were no real contenders to the Super Bowl, whether it be the Stanley Cup playoffs, which I voted for, which got 2 votes, the World Cup, which got 2 votes, any of these other ones. By the way, the World Series got 1 vote. I think I forgot to mention that. I apologize here tonight. Sometimes it's hard to scan down the spreadsheet and be able to count up everything properly here.
It got two.
It got 2 votes?
Yeah.
All right, there I go again. Wait a second. Where's –
Adam and Ron.
Oh, all right. You're right about that. Okay, 2 votes for that also. All right, one of the other ones that got 2 votes, the Kentucky Derby, and one of the guys who cast one of the 2 votes was Ryan. So, Ryan, thoughts on the Derby, slice of Americana here. What were the things that made it stand out to you for the best sporting event?
I don't know. I figured a lot of people would go with, like, the Super Bowl and March Madness, so I figured I'd go with something different. Even though Kentucky Derby may not be real popular with, like, this poll, but I don't know. I just see it as, like, a bit, not a huge thing, but, like, gambling and, like, one of the biggest days, like, of the year besides, like, the Super Bowl where it takes place on one day. So that had a lot to do with it, where the March Madness is multiple days and some people tend to get bored by March Madness.
Well, it was as popular as anything not named the Super Bowl here. Again, we had a bunch of these that got we had a big tie for second place between these ones here. So ultimately, it ends up being the Super Bowl winning. So we raised the Dundee Award here to the Super Bowl, signifying the winner here. The last one that we're going to do before we go to break, I don't think we're going to need too much time for this one. The best fantasy sport in looking at this year, there was one single solitary vote cast for fantasy golf, which was very interesting. And on the rest of them here, it's kind of funny because I think that the snob crowd is well represented proportionately in this bunch. I know that at least Nate and I qualify in this here. Essentially, if you're a fantasy sports snob, like I know that Nate and I are, you voted for baseball because baseball's like trigonometry, basically, as it relates to almost any other fantasy sport. And it takes so much more to win. We've all seen that guy who glides into a football league on the strength of his first two picks. He gets by with the rest of it, Jimmy, and manages to get nothing else going on his team and manages to steal a championship. You can't do that in baseball. Those of us that have played fantasy baseball realize that baseball, however, only got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 votes in the bunch here.
Yep.
Football, your winner in a landslide, and it's the game of the masses, not surprising. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 17 of a possible 25 votes, and actually of a possible 22. Mm-hmm. Because there were three that didn't vote for best fantasy sport. So football wins this one in a landslide. I've already explained my way of thinking. Dave, little bit surprised. I would have thought you might have been in the fantasy snob category, but you went for a Vox Populi.
Yeah, I you know, when I looked at it, because, it, you know, it's kind of like it basically is the same as waiting for the NFL once a week. It's the buildup. It's the, you know, the fact that you only have, in most cases in fantasy football, it's 14 weeks. And yes, it may be a little easier to draft, but I also think that just based on the fact that you have a lot of people who are more involved in it, mm-hmm. and do a lot more research into football, and there are a lot more people that are participating in it. It's a little tougher, and I think it's a little bit more exciting. And, you know, part of that reason, if you want to look at the fact that why it's a more popular, is the NFL and the way they have marketed their sport and the way that they have made, for the most part, all the games available to everyone at all times,
mm-hmm.
with updates and the internet and everything and replay shows and everything. I think that's why people like it more, is they can see exactly what's going on Sunday at 1 o'clock. They can get all the injury updates. There's only one game per team. They don't have to worry about pitching rotations and minor league call-ups and stuff like that.
Well, we've got another point counterpoint that's going to be here on the phone lines. Before we get to that, let's see what Ryan thinks on this here. Ryan, again, you were one of the many votes for football, winning in one of the biggest landslides in any category here tonight. Again, what's interesting to me is I know that you play both baseball and football, so you're somebody who is able to look at it from both sides. What were your thoughts on voting for football?
Well, the start of football season, it gets like people actually pay attention to football, and it's like a bunch. You could get with a group of friends and like have competition and talk crap with each other. You could actually like running your own team, and I don't know. I just think it's more fun because it's shorter. You don't have to like check every day on there like they said with baseball about changing your lineup. So you could go, like, set it a week ahead of time, then just check in on Sunday for the changes that you need to make.
All right, well, let's see what the guys on the phone lines think. The guy who agrees with you out of the two, Ryan, would be Jason. So we'll let Jason go, and then I'll let Nate take the last word on this after Jason's done.
Well, Rick, clearly, if we redefine the question, what's the more difficult or which one takes more skill, we're probably looking at a greater landslide in favor of baseball. But the question being, you know, what's your favorite? For me, it's more of an indictment on the game of baseball than anything else. And through my experience, I've noticed that unless you're in an ultra-competitive league, people generally fall off with their interests. They don't really monitor their teams or much less make adjustments in baseball. So that just annoys me. And the fact that you've got so many games and the difference between first and second place is millimeters, it just takes something away from the pure enjoyment of it for me. Now, with football, you're looking at something where you have all week to prepare for it. Most people pick a day and time just before the weekend to update their rosters. And you have all that time to sort of get amped up for it. And then by proxy, and this is really something that works for every fantasy sport, you're just in tune with it. I mean, you know, I don't know how many people there in studio or listening really care about what the Seahawks or the Panthers do, but, you know, if you're a big fantasy football guy, you're going to know that stuff off the top of your head. It just adds involvement in the game of football, and I personally just enjoy the NFL that much that it weighs heavily on my decision to save football.
You know what, and Nate, you got the last word on this one. Nate, you and I are both intensely competitive people. We take a lot of pride in our accomplishments, maybe to an extreme. You and I think, are probably both drawn to what it takes to win in baseball. It takes so much to win in one of these things here. I'm guessing that has the same allure for you that it does for me.
Absolutely. And Rick, this will be my last segment with you, but it's been a pleasure tonight. When you asked me this question, it was the quickest response I had of the whole time. It said baseball immediately. There wasn't even a thought about it. I mean, to me, what is the point of fantasy sports? If it's gambling, then you can already do that with football. You don't need fantasy league. They have people gamble on football all the time. For me, the point of a fantasy league is to try to parallel reality. You know, what is the thing that will be most realistic? And the fantasy football leagues, we have 12 teams or 16 teams, and everybody's got an all-star team, and some guy gets lucky and gets a touchdown, and you have the best score every week, second best score every week, you lead your league in points scored but don't make the playoffs. I mean, there's so much garbage that goes into fantasy football. Fantasy baseball is pure. It's very difficult. It's extremely, you know, if you're in a hyper-competitive league, it's beautiful, and it takes a lot. It takes 180 days to manage your team. You can't take a day off at all. You have to pay attention to pitching matchups, and there's so many things, and it puts you in the seat of a Major League Baseball team owner or manager. You know, it gives you that reality. Fantasy football does not give you that reality. Fantasy football often is a coin flip. There aren't many coin flips in fantasy baseball. It's a pure fantasy sport. It's actually what originated fantasy sports. Without fantasy baseball, there'd be no fantasy football. Fantasy baseball started it all. You know, and from a purist perspective, there's no competition in my mind between any of them. Fantasy baseball and then everything else.